Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our Bible study on the book of Job, which is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? In chapter 37 of the book of Job, Elihu continues to set forth the wisdom and omnipotence of God, as manifested in the thunder and lightning, and in the snow and rain, and the purposes for which they are sent. Listen to this beautiful discourse. First, Elihu is going to talk about the thunder and lightning. This is in Job chapter 37 and verses 1 through 5. My heart trembles at this also and leaps out of its place. Listen carefully to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes out of his mouth. He loosens it under the whole heavens, and his lightning goes forth to the ends of the earth. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with the voice of his majesty, and he will not hold them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things. Unfortunately, in some cases, we do not understand what God is doing. And now Elihu talks about the majesty in the snow and the rain. This is in verses 6 through 12. For he says to the snow, fall on the earth, also to the shower of rain, and to the shower of heavy rains in its strength. He says, fall on the earth. He seals up the hand of every man, so that all men may know his work. And what he's talking about is that when it rains like that, we have to go inside. Our hands are sealed up. Our hands are tied. We can't fight against the rain like that, that heavy rain. So God is great and mighty, even in his rain, that we can't fight against something that might start out as a little raindrop here and a little raindrop there, but then it becomes a torrent of rain, and our hands become sealed. Same thing with animals, as it says in verse 8. Then the beast goes into its lair, and it remains in its dens. You'll notice that animals that can escape from the rain, they'll hide in dens and in caves to keep themselves from the rain. Verse 9, out of the storeroom comes the tempest, and cold from scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the expanse of waters is frozen tight. Also, he loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters the lightning cloud, and it is turned around by his guidance, so that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the world in the earth. Now, who of us can do that? Who of us can breathe on something and make it turn into ice? Of course, some of us might be able to breathe on something and burn it up with our hot breath, but none of us can breathe on water and turn it into ice. Only God can do that. And I don't know if any of you have been to a place like Alaska or Antarctica, and you've seen these vast, vast expanses of water that have become mountains of ice. They call them icebergs. God is the one who, in his majesty, can take the mist and then cause that mist to ascend up into the heavens to form clouds, and then those clouds form rain, and then the rain, when it's cold enough, becomes snow, and it falls down to the earth, and then that snow becomes hard as ice, and that ice just expands for miles and miles in its breadth, and miles in its height, and miles in its depth. Only God can do that. None of us can do that. So we should always, always fall humbly before our God. And now Elihu says that God sends the thunder and the lightning. God sends the snow and the rain, and he does it for a reason. So why does God use the weather? In verse 13, the answer is, God sometimes uses the weather as a whip. Sometimes he needs to whip us because we do need to be punished. Sometimes he uses it for his land. That means that sometimes God sends forth the rain, the lightning, the thunder, the snow, because he wants to bless the land, or in some cases because he wants to curse the land. He sends a flood to curse the earth, like he did in the time of Noah, or maybe he'll send enough rain in its due season to give abundance of food for us as the plants grow and the animals eat off of the plants and they grow. Sometime God does that for his mercy, because people have been suffering, so he sends the rain in due season. God is the one who determines the use of the weather. That's what it says in verse 13. And now Job is exhorted to consider the wondrous works of God in the light, in the clouds, in the winds, in the heat and cold, in the formation of the heavens, and in the changes of the atmosphere. We can see this. We're still in verse 37, but now we'll read in verses 14 through 22. Listen to this, Job. Stand still and consider the wonderful works of God. Do you know when God placed them and caused the lightning of his cloud to shine? I mean, who was around when the first lightning bolt struck, when it lit up the clouds at night and made them to shine? Job wasn't around at that time, so how can Job instruct God in anything? You and I weren't around at that time, so how can we instruct God in anything and say, God, you shouldn't have allowed this to happen, or God, you should have done this, or you should have done that? How could we at any time say that we are more just than God? Now in verse 16, do you know the balancing of the clouds, the wonderful works of him who is perfect in knowledge? It's so beautiful when we travel and we ascend into the clouds on an airplane, and as we go up into the clouds, it becomes dark all around us, and then we continue to ascend, and soon we're above the clouds. None of us can make clouds like that. None of us can just hang them in the sky. There's no strings that hold those clouds in the sky. Only God can do something like that, because God is perfect in knowledge. In verse 17, you whose clothes are warmed when he quiets the earth from the south wind, have you beat out the expanse with him, hard like a cast mirror? Who stretched out the skies like they are in their great expanse? Teach us what we shall say to him, for because of darkness we cannot arrange our case. Shall it be told him that I would speak? If a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now men cannot look upon the light. It is in the clouds, but the wind passes and clears them. Golden splendor comes out of the north. God is awesome in his majesty. And then Job is exhorted by Elihu to consider the perfections of God and how he should be reverenced by his creatures. And this is in verses 23 through 24. The Almighty, in this case it's from the Hebrew word El Shaddai, the Almighty, whom we cannot find out, the Almighty, El Shaddai, is exalted in power and to judgment and overflowing righteousness. Therefore men fear him. He does not respect any who are wise in heart. God doesn't need to go up to a person who's wise in heart and say, you know, can you show me how to do this? God doesn't have respect for anybody in that way. I mean, giving them undue respect. No, we have to reverence God. God doesn't revere us. We have to revere God. So, in summary, what Elihu has done here is Elihu has picked up where Job left off. Job left off on his good side saying, blessed be the name of the Lord our God. But then, of course, instead of saying, blessed be the name of the Lord our God, he started to say, blessed be the name of Job, and that God has done me wrong because he's not delivered me from these trials, though I haven't done anything to deserve it. So Elihu had picked up where Job left off, and he started blessing the name of the Lord God, extolling all of God's greatness and goodness and his mercy. And so this is, in summary, what Elihu did. He said, God is all-powerful, which means that God is omnipotent. God is all-knowing, which means that God is omniscient. No one is as skilled as God is in teaching whatever they know. God is the master teacher. God is eternal and infinite, while we are temporal and finite. God is creator, and we can't even begin to light a candle to God. We can't even begin to replicate his wonders through any of our puny scientific advancements and experiments. Elihu closes his case by extolling God's attributes. He thereby prepares Job to meet his maker. And that's what we're going to do, along with Job, is meet our maker in the next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you. Before you go, please let me make a special announcement. Currently, we meet every Saturday in various people's homes. We plan to continue that most of the time. But since we are also planning to expand our ministry, we are looking for a, quote, permanent place, unquote, to meet so that we can be of greater service to the community. For instance, we would like to invite more people to Bible studies. We would like to conduct our free seminars more frequently. We would like to distribute food to the hungry, collect clothes and school supplies for the Tumaini Community Orphan School that we support in Kenya, Africa, and on and on. So if you have an available facility or know of an available facility, such as a church, a school, or a storefront, that can accommodate about 50 people for a couple of hours on a Saturday, then please call Glenn Williams at 404-412-0032, or you can send him an email at information@christianambassadors.org. Again, the phone number is 404-412-0032, and the email address is information@christianambassadors.org. Your service will be greatly appreciated, and we thank you in advance in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.